We're talking our way through this book, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer, by Ernest Holmes. It's from Lectures, Etc. And this chapter is Chapter 2, The Healing Light. This book was published, or these talks were given and papers written. Publication is 1991, but I think these were done in like late 50s, 59, thereabouts. So that was quite a while ago. And I think it's fascinating when we think about the context of when Ernest Holmes was doing his talking between, you know, the early 1900s on. Into the 1950s. And this is before, really much of it was before television. Whatever television came into being was mostly in black and white, entirely early on. And he filled auditoriums with his talks. Thousands of people would come to listen to the man talk. He was an orator. And so his writing is like that. He writes the way he thinks, the way he talks. And I think that has an interesting effect on his writing. So as we read the writing, this chapter, more than anything else that I've read of his, is a lot like a fire hose. It's just like, here it comes. And to read it out loud to oneself, to slow it down, to parse it out, to really feel the language as with all of his writing is very much fun. And so I would suggest that anybody reading this book, you know, if you have time to read it out loud to yourself, I encourage you to do that, because he heard it in his head and then wrote what he heard. And he's an orator. And so I encourage you to work your way through slow and feel it. But I think it's fascinating. As I listened to Lynn's song, I thought, okay, well, there's the talk. Now, I'm sure Lynn has heard that plenty of other times where somebody says, well, we can all go home now after hearing one of her songs, because there it is. There it is, diving into the unknown, being open, being free, being willing, being brave, having confidence, being willing to, without thinking in terms of being arrogant or conceited, because as Holmes says, there's no conceit or arrogance in spirit. It's just being open to the fact that we are all of this creative force, this creative, whatever it is, call it God for simplicity's sake, that is the light. And when he's talking about light, he's talking about healing light, the healing light. Now, you listen to Connie's talk from a week ago or recently about this same concept, about the light. Her license plate says, you are light. What a constant reminder. Every time you get near her car, it's you are light. Oh, right. But do we get it, what that is? You are light. We have a notion of what light means. Light means, well, like I have these shears on my southern-facing window, bay. And we get the notion of, well, that's light. There's light, and those are light, and there's a lightness, a physical lightness of being. There was a book a long time ago. What was it? There's something lightness of being. I forgot the title. But anyway, yeah, the concept of lightness, light. And that concept of light is physical. We can see it, we can feel it, it's a kinesthetic, it's lightness, a lightheartedness, it's a lightness of being. And that is a long way along the path towards the light that Ernest Holmes is talking about and that Connie's talking about. And this concept in the book spelling out that there is that light at the center of everyone. That's a quote. Well, what on earth does that mean? There's a light at the center of everyone. Well, when you think about one's body and the center being somewhere in here, I guess, and we got heart and lungs and stuff, and it's probably dark in there. So obviously he's not talking light, like we're thinking like lamps in the sunshine. This is a different light, that this light is in us, and it's in all of us. It's in everything. And he talks about this very basic, he's struggling to try to convey what he's talking about. Right after talking about there's this light at the center of everyone, then he starts talking about that somebody's measured the vibration, the frequency that organs vibrate at, and found that all livers vibrate at the same frequency. And that's a universality, therefore. And it's like, okay, now we're talking about this very physical being. And there have been notions and testing that's been done, hypotheses, that if you can bring a diseased organ back into what is its normal frequency, that is health. That a normal frequency for anything is health. And so the normal frequency of our life being is health. And that, how do you do that? Well, I suppose sometimes you can do it with electric shock with hearts. We saw that happen with that football player that went down in a game because he got hit just right and it stopped. It caught his heart. The jolt caught his heart in between beats just right that the heart missed and couldn't start again, couldn't beat again. And so they had to do CPR and give him heart shake, electrical shock, and keep him moving. And it drained the energy right out of him. It drained the life out of him. It drained out that, did it drain out that light? Well, Holmes would say no. Holmes would say no. That light is in everyone. And I suspect everything. But Holmes is talking about people. And so that young man managed to get his life essence back in full force, and now he's up and about. I don't know if he's going to play football again or if he'd want to. We'll see. But yeah, he came back out of that mental, physical darkness, but that light persisted. The light was there. And Holmes says that he can look at people and he can see the light. He looks at things and sees that light. The one time he had taught a class and went home and sat in silence for 2 hours in darkness, in silence, and then the dark became light. So there's this piece of me that thinks, I think of terms of light, I always attach the concept of energy, that this is something you can measure. They can measure light. How much brightness is there in this light? But this light that Holmes is talking about doesn't have a spectrum. It's just, yes, it's just here it is. And that light is in everyone. It's like, I don't know what it's like. We'll skip that, whatever it's like. But there's a universality to it, that we all have this light within us. And there's I read a title of a book recently that said that all sickness is homesickness. It's like all sickness is homesickness. Well, if you're talking about that, then are you talking about a seeking of that with where what home is? Well, is home, pretty sure it's not talking about a place to live, but a place to be meshed in awareness and in a knowingness of that light. So if all sickness is homesickness, then everyone who is seeking that home, is seeking that absolute center well-beingness of all. It's that beingness. You hear that thing about that instead of being a human being or human doings. Yeah, it's that coming back to who are we, and an acknowledgement that we are all that, that this God force, this creative force, creativeness of the cosmos is us, and we are it. We are that creative force. We are it. We're all breathing, living, breathing examples of it. Here's another representation of this amazing thing. And so when he talks about, you know, that God is everything, God is all of what we see and feel and think and sing and everything else, that God is all of the creativity, God is all of the words that are written, God is all of the songs that are sung, the dances that are danced. An example of that came out of quite a while ago. I don't know if you folks, some of you, I'm sure, have heard of Peggy Lee. Turns out Peggy Lee was a friend of Ernest Holmes. And he mentions in here that he has said that God wrote every poem that was ever written. And then he says, quote, "I was invited to hear a certain singer sing the other night," and this is the 1950s. "And she said," and they were actually friends, "and she said, 'Because you are coming, I want to give the best show I've ever given.' I said, 'You will, but not because I'm coming.' And it's very interesting. Her manager and people who worked with her called me up the next day and said, 'That is the best show she ever gave in her life.' Well, I treated her." He had been doing treatment work with her. I think he was her practitioner. "Because I knew she had a very great desire to do it because I was going to be there. And I said, 'Well, what is to stop God from singing? She's going to sing. God's going to sing.' And now you see, God sings all the songs." So then people will say, "Well, then where do we come in? Are we just puppets? No, God's this God. It's not that big God in the sky with the beard sitting on the clouds pulling strings. And we all go and sing and dance and do whatever we do." No. It's God coming through. And rather than God or this somehow obliterating us, it's all God, we're just puppets. No. Instead of obliterating us, it accentuates the individualization. And so that God force, that creative force, that amazing whatever it is, capital I-T, it, whatever it is, that light, that's then shows up as you, as me, as whomever, as whoever, or everybody. It's in their own. And so rather than, well, it's God being the puppet master, no, it's that light, that beingness, that creative force that just shows up in individual ways, represented in individual ways. And so how we do that, how we show up, remembering that, knowing that, being free to dive into, to parachute into, to sit here and just open to that amazing truth of light that we all are. That's the invitation, because that's really all there is. And I remember when I was in practitioner classes a long time ago, and I think I've mentioned this here before, where I had the realization that I felt like taking classes and learning these practices and engaging in these practices of clarity of mind and realizing who I am, what I am, where I fit into all of this, and learning the steps of treatment, which could be healing prayer, if you want to call it that. Yeah. I felt like I was removing barnacles. Oh, this doesn't serve anymore. And this doesn't serve anymore. And this doesn't serve anymore. And by removing, and there's that concept that this God force, this creative force, doesn't just all of us, everything, because it's just all God. Mm-mm. No. It's that God force says, okay, what are you going to reveal? Oh, well, so by removing the barnacles, then I get to reveal who I am, which is a being verb. A human being. Who am I going to be? I get to be more of what I already am. It's a matter of revelation. I get that. There comes, what's his name? I forgot his name now. What's his name? The fella at California, Reverend Michael Beckwith. Revelation. Get that. Anyway, so, and here comes with health and well-being. Because there are things like people, things like healing touch. If you're going to engage in working with another person, doing treatment for another person, what are you doing with your own mind? And we're told over and over again that when we're doing treatment, when we're doing prayer work, we're working inside our own self to really get down to the basics of who and what am I all about. I am this creative force. I'm participating in this creative process, aligning with it, then acknowledging that, yep, that's that, and then aligning with it. And then from there, that clarity of mind and heart and being, knowing the truth about a situation, knowing the truth about a person, and vibing in there and you know, vibing them back into health and well-being with that light, opening it up so that that light can just flow for them, for all. No more obliteration with whatever else circumstance or effect is going on, but removing that and allowing this light to flow, this powerful creative force to flow. Because if it's flowing in anything, it's flowing in everything. And that's just the way it is. And so I don't know. And Holmes refers to then the logic of all of this, that it's, you're not just making it up. It has to make sense, the science of mind. And so it refers to that there's intelligence, whatever this creativeness is. And then there's the word, that, there it is. Then the law, so this, it has to flow this way because it has to. And then it is fact, reality in our experience. Now, I want to talk about a notion that people have that when some disaster happens or somebody dies or some tragedy happens and folks say, oh, our thoughts and prayers are with you. That's a sweet thought. And we do teach that any treatment spoken, any delivered intention plays into this creative force and has effect. But I wonder about when people just say, oh, our thoughts and prayers are with you. Or my, you know, somebody's not feeling well. Oh, my prayers are with you. Holmes refers to treatment as work. That he worked for Peggy Lee. And when she was interviewed as an old lady, very vital, very active old lady in 2013 for an article that's online. You can find it. Just search on Peggy Lee, Ernest Holmes, or just Holmes. It'll come up. And she says that she owes everything to science of mind and to Holmes. And when he mentions that we worked for her, he was doing treatment and he's working. He means business. He's working. He's doing the mental work necessary to create an equivalent. He can see the equivalent in reality. He knows it, equivalent in reality, and then deliver that equivalent into light and draw light, flow that light right through that equivalent in mind, a mental equivalent, and here comes the light. And so it worked in her life for her whole life. And she was very vital, active, engaged, doing lots of things as an old lady, and attribute it all to what she had gained by that belief system and working with him as her practitioner. She believed it. And so this light is beyond the equivalent. We create a mental equivalent when we're doing prayer work or doing, you know, spiritual mind treatment, But then it transcends that light. So we talk about the law of cause and effect. Well, we have a cause and have an effect. Here's how it goes. Except then there are people who transcend it. They don't break the law. You don't break the physical laws of nature and reality. But you can transcend them. Normally, if this happens, then this happens. There you go. But people like Jesus and Buddha and other amazing spiritual masters and teachers and mystics can transcend that natural order of cause and effect. That we don't have to repeat history. Just because something happened before doesn't mean it has to happen again. Just because this is the way this disease process goes, for example, doesn't mean it has to happen again. That it can happen a different way. And that, you know, I read about the power of small numbers or great numbers, where you get somebody won the lottery. I don't know how many billions of tickets were sold, but one person won that lottery. Somebody was going to win it and did. Which one? Who knows? But yeah, it comes down to that. Yeah, he bought a ticket. And for him, it worked in a big way. And I hope it doesn't just destroy his life. Because apparently that does happen to some people who just are not ready for what happens when you come into huge amounts of goodness. Well, but I'm hoping that he got himself all lined up so that he's got a way to deal with it. Give away all of it except the last 500,000 or something. Who knows? But anyway, so Holmes talks about this amazing creative force, this imagination and a lucid imagination. Not just craziness or hallucinations, but lucid imagination, where it's being fed by light. It's being supported by light. And if we can find that, if we can stay within that lucid imagination about what we're all about, what am I for? What am I doing here walking around in this incarnation? Because I don't want to be one of those people that becomes so enlightened or so evolved that I'm just of no use to anyone, or so open-minded that my brains fall out, that sort of thing. I don't want to be so evolved and enlightened that I'm just of no good use to anything. We want to be that, but of good service. We don't have to be. We can just be whatever we are, knowing that that light is within all of us no matter what. But if we choose to be of service, if we choose to play out how we're going to live and exist in this world, then we bring that lucid imagination. What a concept. And then we can surrender to the divine genius. Love that. Surrender to the divine genius. And see, where does this go? And look who's showing up. But that, as he says, that is a place where that light is where a word or a state of consciousness shows up at our level of perception. Yeah. So have we prepared ourselves? Have we done what's necessary to drop away the whatever obliterates ourselves or obscures ourselves? Not obliterates, but obscures ourselves. If we can work our way through that, and drop away the things that interfere with our own light, our own being. So we can reach a place in evolution, as he says, where automatic reactions of the physical body have kept it going to the place of self-discovery. Self-discovery, meaning discovery of our divine being, of our light, or living in that. And he suggests that this is not arrogant, because there's no arrogant in spirit. And so it's a strong suggestion. Don't refuse it. Don't ignore it, because by doing so, you're lying to yourself. And by lying to yourself, You're lying to the creative force. You're going to lie to God? And so all the great teachers, all of this teaching, this chapter and all the rest of these teachings raise us to a higher level of perception. So then we can receive this. Then we receive it. We already are it, but then we can acknowledge it and live with it and within it, because it is the truth that is us. It's already in us. And what you can see, if you can see this in other people, well, then you can see it in yourself. And likewise, if you can see it, yes, I'm a divine being of light. Oh, well, then so is everybody else. And you can see it in all of them, no matter their state. You can see it in everyone. And so we surrender to this whole, to this belief, to the apex, to the light. You believe in it, and then you believe in yourself. And so it is. Blessings.